For those of you that didn't get the message last week, get the tape. For those of you that didn't hear the message, get the tape. It was a very simple message, and that's what I warned you about. Sometimes the simple things is what we miss. Sometimes it's very difficult to grasp deeply the simple things. But God's command was, unless you become as a little child, that means quit looking for all the hidden stuff, quit looking for the mysteries, grab a hold of the truth, that you can never enjoy the things of the kingdom. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. It's simple. Let me tell you how simple it is. Let me read you something that I've been impressed with over and over this last week, and even was able to minister some. And in, before we begin, this is just no extra charge. A woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and I don't think very many people understood. Even the healed didn't understand. Did you know that? Sometimes we're healed and we don't believe it. I don't believe this. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." This is Mark chapter 5, verse 34 through. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." And while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now I'm going to tell you the answer to the entire life is those couple of words right there. Don't be afraid, only believe. Yes. The problem was, he didn't just have a choice of believing. He had a choice of believing two things. One, that his daughter was dead, or one, that if he believed, she wasn't dead. Right. Now, unless she becomes a little child, you can't get this. It's just too simple for us grown-ups. Jesus' answer was, don't be afraid. Only believe. All right. We'll start the message with that this morning, and I'll continue. Let's pray. Father, we give you praise and honor and glory this morning for that tidbit of information that will deliver us from all danger, harm, and evil. Let's don't forget that simple thing that Jesus said. I didn't say that. You said it, my Lord. Don't be afraid. Only believe. You can't be afraid of a promise. You can only be afraid of a threat. So what you're saying is, don't be afraid of threats. Only believe me. So we choose to do that this morning. By faith, I make a choice in this house that we're going to believe you above everything else. Yes. We're going to hear from you. We're going to be restored by you. We're going to be encouraged and strengthened by you. And we'll take no other report. We'll not fear any other report. We'll be lifted up in this house to believe you more, which will exalt you more, and that's the goal of our lives, in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, this is the third part of our series of Take Up Your Cross and Follow Me. And that was another thing that Jesus said. It comes from Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. And it says, "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, I want to remind you that that's kind of a threat. Because if you're not worthy of him, you're not getting him. Now, I'm not trying to build a religion out of works, okay? It's not what I'm trying to do. But if we don't think that it doesn't keep a little energy to keep a relationship fresh, we're sadly mistaken. That's right. We're the bride of Christ, and if he's worthy of praise and honor and if we're worthy of him, it's going to take work. And can I add something to that? It's going to take some work on both parts. And Jesus has already done as much work as he can. He's already completed everything. There ain't no honey-do list with him. You know that? I mean, I've never been in that point. But he's done the work so well, we can't even find a honey-do list. And yet we keep looking for it. We keep wanting to writing down things that he hasn't done for us yet, and yet he's done all things. And his report to us, every time we do a honey-do list, his report back to us is, don't be afraid, only believe. Yeah. Yeah. All right, a quick review. The cross of Jesus was not two trees, but it was a lifestyle. If we study the life of Jesus, the faith of Jesus, the love of Jesus and of the Father, of the kingdom, and of the love of us, we see that the cross that we are to pick up, the path that we are to follow, is the path that Jesus laid out before us. That's the cross he's speaking of when he says, take up the cross and follow me. The cross is the pattern, the life, the path of Jesus. In part one, we learned that we are to love and value nothing above Jesus and his kingdom. That's part A. Part B was our temple, which is our body and the church, must be clean, pure, and dedicated. Or you're not worthy of it. Now, can you imagine in a marriage that I give myself to Jesus and then I fool around on him and say, now you owe me something? Now, come on. We have to be totally dedicated to Jesus. We have to be pure to him, or we're not worthy of him. Now, I'm going to expound on that a little bit, so as you say yes, you know you're saying yes to things that I haven't even written out yet on contract. Part two. Bill was referring to it this morning. Our flesh is the veil that keeps us from the holiest of holies. We read the scripture to you last week. Get the tape. The Jesus flesh was the veil. Therefore, our flesh is the veil. He crucified his flesh. The veil was torn in two. We crucify ours, the veil is torn in two. That was the simplicity of the message that God gave you last week. Gave to me and I gave to you. Now, when we were sinners, we were totally ruled by what our flesh wanted. Everybody, why don't you just admit that? We still lean to that direction a little bit sometimes. Our flesh was totally for itself. Therefore, God and others did not count. When we were born again, and if we are born again, we're a new creation. We're fathered by God. We're birthed by God. That new spirit being that's in me is now consumed by the wants and needs of the Father. Now, you can say I'm about to explode. You can say anything you want. But until we are consumed by the wants of the Father, as Jesus was, we're not quite there yet. So that's what we're working on, right? No condemnation, we're just working to be better. As we crucify the old selfish flesh, we become more like Christ. That is, we take on the burden of the cross of Jesus, or the path of Jesus, and his kingdom. I will remind you again that Jesus did not preach Jesus, he preached the kingdom. If we can get that, we'll understand that Jesus was more interested in the will of the Father, which was establishing the kingdom, than he was himself being exalted. Amen. Not taking away from Jesus at all. Now we owe him everything. All right, today. Another aspect. I listed an awful lot of things that the cross represented and involved and entailed last week. This week I want to pick two of them, which basically boils down to one. The largest burden that we can ever carry is truth. Remember, truth is a person? Yeah. Truth is not what you say. Truth is who you say it about. Let me tell you about Jesus is let me tell you about the truth. That's right. That's what this is about. So the largest burden or cross that we'll ever bear is making sure we speak the truth. Now that sounds real easy, but it's tremendously complicated. Not complicated. It just covers everything that we do say and even think. Right. You understand we're deciding about truth even when we're in our thought processes? That's the most important time when we decide what we're going to do or say. The second aspect is praise. And I don't care which is one or two, pick one. And the reason I said there's two aspects, but really one, is the praise is truth. Good. And our problem is that many times, let me show you something. I don't have it, but I'm going to say something here. I've got a real pain in this left shoulder. I don't have that. I'm just using it as an example. Have a real pain in this left shoulder. So now my job in this earth is to go around telling everybody the truth, that I've got a pain in my left shoulder. That's the way most of the world and too many Christians think what truth is. I fell outside and I broke my nose. That's not the truth. The truth is a person. You didn't break the person. You didn't fall and break the person. And the person doesn't have a pain in his left shoulder. We need to decide if we're going to talk about some facts and maybe some lies that we go through on a daily basis. Are we going to concentrate on taking up our cross and following Jesus, which is speaking the truth as God has revealed it to us, not as we speak it. Can I just be honest with you? If our flesh is speaking, it's a lie, because it comes from a lying flesh. If God speaks it and we repeat it, now it's the truth. Is that too simple? I'm telling you, you got to take this as a little child. We mix facts and truth. They're not the same. All right, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 16. And I'm going to get as vivid and as colorful as I can about the difference between facts and truth. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. While you're turning there, I'll tell you this. Paul and Silas were in the city of Philippi in Macedonia. They were led there by the Spirit of God to preach the gospel. Now listen to me, people. Everybody thinks that that means everything is going to go well. And that is the truth. But your flesh is going to be arguing with you some in the process. Because when you go do the will of God, somebody's going to try to attack your flesh. Not going over well. I can see that this morning. I'm going to go back and start over. The only way to break the veil and get into the holiest of holies is to crucify your flesh. What that means is you can no longer listen to your flesh. You tell your flesh what to do instead of your flesh telling you what to do. And the report of the Lord is much stronger and much better than the report of your flesh. All right, now we're... There we go. Paul and Silas were sent by the Spirit of God to minister in Macedonia. They're in the city of Philippi. They were doing God's work, which means can't be any pain, right? It can't even be hot when you're doing God's work. They were teaching Jesus. They were teaching salvation. They were healing. Many were being changed, and many were being brought into the kingdom of God. Therefore, they couldn't suffer anything, right? Yeah, it depends on where you're talking to the flesh or where you're talking to the truth. All right, let's start with verse 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer. Now, of course, nothing can happen while you're praying either. That a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now, if we listen to the flesh, anybody that tells the future is a prophet. If we listen to the Spirit, then we know that not everybody that tells of the future is a prophet.
Right.
Very important thing to remember. Now, this slave girl was bringing her masters much profit by fortune-telling. She set her little booth up on the corner. She said, "Let me read your future." Her master pimped her out, said, "When you get through, bring me the money." Y'all got that picture, right? You understand that God doesn't pimp people out? Okay. Verse 17. The girl followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Was that the truth? Was it coming through the wrong container? You remember that Jesus took Jesus up on the mountain and spoke Bible to him and lied? See, if we're going to be flesh people, then this would compliment us and say, oh, this has got to be a woman of God. She says good things about me. Oh, y'all didn't laugh as much about that. Listen, when somebody's complimenting, try to find out what they want. If they want to exalt God, let them compliment. But if they're wanting to gain favor with you, say, get behind me, Satan. Verse 18, and this she did for many days. Now, if you wanted to speak the truth, why would you keep repeating and follow them around repeating? The reason is they hadn't given her the honor that she wanted. So she just keeps trying to get honor from this. But Paul, greatly annoyed, that's nearly the same word as got angry. Turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. Now let you a little glimpse into Christian flesh. Why didn't he do this when he first heard it? Because his flesh liked it. Paul was skinned in flesh too, remember? He didn't mind hearing all those good words, but he finally got enough of it. Now, verse 19. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone. You have two hopes in this world. You have the hope of Jesus Christ or the hope of profit. That's your two choices. Jesus Christ or profit. One, you get profit. The other one, you don't. You get profit through Jesus Christ, but if any other way, you're never going to. What's it going to do you any good if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? No profit, right? When they saw that the hope of their profit was gone by this demon spirit coming out of the woman, and a demon spirit no longer telling the future. Please listen to me. If somebody's telling the future and they're not full of the Holy Spirit, they are demon possessed. They seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. That can't be happening because they're doing the work of God. You know, our problem is that our flesh talks us into feeling sorry for our flesh. When things go wrong, then our flesh wants to say, poor flesh. And we, the spirit people, fall into that trap because we'd like to have it a little easier. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Now, if you want to do your history, you'll find out they weren't teaching anything that was unlawful to Jews or Romans. Right. So that's a false accusation. Why do you bring that up, Stan? Because there's only one place that a Christian can be attacked, and that's in their flesh. Right. Satan can't attack you in the spirit. He has no way into the Holy of Holies, which you are. Are you listening to me? You are the Holy of Holies in Christ Jesus. And he can't come into that Holy of Holies and attack you. So what he does is he works on your feelings, which are flesh. He works on your mind, which are flesh. You have two minds, by the way. Because when you're born again, you were given the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean your old mind was erased. It just means you got a better library. You got a different hard drive. It's a whole lot better than the old one. Verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them. That's because the majority is always wrong. And said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Drop down. I went up. Drop down. Then the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Well, that's not possible because they're in the Spirit. You can't be beat with rods when you're doing God's work, right? Right. Next time you're being beat with a rod, tell your flesh that. You're not being beat by a rod. We've got to get a balance here, people. If it's 103 outside, don't call it 76. Amen. Just don't exalt the 103. Somebody's beating you up, Don't deny you're getting beat up, just don't exalt the beat up. Exalt your salvation. Verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they drew them into prison. They commanded the jailer to keep them securely. Now you understand, they understood commands a lot better than we do. We think stop signs mean slow down, look both ways, and keep rolling. But in the Bible, a command meant a command, whether you were in the world or not in the world. And it was death if you didn't obey the command. We need to get a hold of some of that. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks, which couldn't be because they're Christians. Verse 25. Now listen. But at midnight, very, very dark time. It's supposed to be a new day, but it doesn't feel like one. In the middle of a hole, and I thought I was free. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. I wonder what they were praying. Lord, why are you doing this to me? I've been your faithful servant all of these years. Now, all I'm doing is repeating prayers that I've heard way too many times. Yes. But they weren't just praying. They were singing hymns to God. Good. Why?
That's the truth.
But they were in chains, Patrick. They were bleeding and they were uncomfortable. They were hurting from the beating. They were dark. They couldn't see anything. They couldn't even see each other. Doesn't really sound like... I mean, we walk into this nice place, light and air conditioned, and we have a hard time working up praise. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we walk too much in the flesh and not enough in the spirit. Not enough in the truth. If we walked in here in magnificent truth, we'd be a magnificent praiser.
Yes.
They were singing and praying, singing hymns to God... And the prisoners were listening to them. How do you like this? This didn't call Paul and Silas prisoner. It called the other people prisoners, and yet they were in the deepest hole, strapped down the hardest way. I'll tell you what. Next time you think you're a prisoner, you try praise and worship God and see if you don't seem free. See if you don't feel free. Verse 26. Suddenly... There was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Everyone's chains were loosed. Not just Paul and Silas. You know why God does things like that? Just to show those big shots who really is the big shot. And He'll only do it according to our truth. That is our praise. And the keeper of the prison, awakening from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. See, the devil's job, the devil's goal was to kill Paul, Silas, the jailer, every prisoner, and everybody he could affect. Why? Because he's only a mimic. He was mimicking God's desire, which was to save everybody that was there. Come on, I'm giving you truth this morning. The devil doesn't have original thoughts. He only copies what God first thought. But he copies it in the dark way, not the light way. But Paul, with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Now listen to me. We are all here. I don't know how many times you've been in jail, but I'm going to assume that if the doors flung open and the chains fell off, you might get up and slowly walk out. You know why they didn't? Because the truth inside of that prison was more glorious than the freedom outside. Then he called for a light, ran in, that's the guard, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Why? It looks like he'd have just chained them back up. Why did they fall and tremble before Paul and Silas? Because Paul and Silas had a power that the jail didn't have. They had a report that he couldn't understand. The jailer thought he saw everything clearly. Paul and Silas, they didn't see clearly at all. You dummies, you're inside the prison praising God. And the guard was outside. Ha, those dummies, I'm the one on the outside. I'm free, they're not. And all of a sudden, role reversal.
Yep. Yeah, right.
And now his life was at risk. The mocker became the pleader. And he brought them out, that's the jailer, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now you know what he said? Let's go back to the meaning of that word. It's sozo. It means safe. We changed the meaning of the Bible to fit our English. But what this meant was, I am safe. What he saw in Paul and Silas, with all the threats of the entire world on them and all the chains and prisons, that they were safe because they were truly free.
Amen.
The guard who thought he was free now understands that he wants what they have.
Right.
Why? Because they didn't whine and moan and complain about their plight. Because they gave God praise. So they said, here's what you do. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be safe. You and your household.
Amen.
That sounds like what I first read you this morning.
Yes.
Don't be afraid. Just believe.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing that Jesus repeated himself? Well, that's what you do when you only have truth. You repeat yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, they got a beating. They were thrown in prison. They were put in chains. And guess what the first thing they spoke when they came out? The last thing they spoke when they went in. They didn't change their message. They didn't say, oh, we're politically incorrect. Let's tone down the message. We might offend somebody. They just said, we only have one truth, and there is only one truth. You must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you'll be safe. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. They got busy. You know what they were saying? We don't care how many times you throw us in jail. My God's big enough to get us out. Maybe just destroy your jail and you too if you keep trying. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. The jailer is now the servant. And immediately he and all his family were baptized.
Amen.
Now when he had brought them into his house, do you understand when he brought them into his house, he once again defied his boss?
Right.
Because that was penalty of death, and he said, I don't really care. I want what they got. Better to die than to live in bondage.
Amen.
All right, that's the truth. That's the truth we need to understand here this morning. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced,
amen,
having believed in God with all of his household. Who won this battle? He won it through the praises of his people.
Amen.
Right? Which, by the way, how many of you think that you are good enough with your linguistics to praise God larger than he deserves? Was that too complicated a question? How many of you think you can lie about God? See, I'm telling you, I don't care how big your imagination is and how fancy your words are. You can't get colorful enough, grandiose enough. You can't brag too much. Because everything that you say good about God is the truth. We call it praise, but in reality, it's just a report of the truth. All right, let me give you seven or eight things that we see in this story. Number one, doing God's will. does not always comfort the flesh. But who cares? It's only flesh. But does always give victory to you and to others.
That's right. Amen.
Number two, there's only one area that can be attacked, and that is the flesh and or your mind. Number three, your born again spirit is your victory. Your born again spirit is your power. Your born again spirit is your commander. Or at least that's the way it should be. It is in the image of Christ Jesus. We spend way too much time listening to the enemy suggest how lousy we are. When in reality, if we are in the image of Christ Jesus, then whatever you can imagine about Jesus, imagine about you. Maybe we'll have a little bit more power and authority if we can put ourselves in a proper position. Number four, your spirit man, not your flesh, but your spirit man sees God and His victories over pain and troubles. I'm going to say it again. Your spirit man sees the truth, which means it sees victories already accomplished. Your spirit man, that man in you that's going to live forever and never die. So if you're guided and motivated by the Spirit, you will speak these victories. You will not speak the defeats. If you're speaking defeats and problems, you're speaking your flesh. If you're speaking victories, which is praise and is truth, then your spirit man is speaking. Now, I'm talking about born again. Okay? I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about those that are born again. Your spirit man, this is number five, your spirit man sees victory through the eyes of God. Do you think God wakes up in the morning and says, what do I need to do today? Or do you think that through His eyes, He sees what He's already accomplished and doesn't have to be redone? Your spirit man sees victory through the eyes of God, through the victory of Jesus, and your spirit man sees the will and the future of our King. How can you see somebody's will? Only by the Spirit. How can you see a victory that your flesh has not recognized yet? By the Spirit. Our problem is we spend way too much trying to figure out the will of God. Because our flesh brain thinks we've got to figure things out. Our spirit brain knows that all we have to do is accept. Believe. Don't fear. Right? How did Jesus handle it? What are you worried about? Just believe. Why? Because He was seeing through the eyes of the Spirit of the living God. He saw through the Father's eyes. He didn't bother to waste His time looking through flesh eyes. Number six. Your freedom and victory is enforced with A, truth. Your freedom and victory is enforced with truth. The truth is your victory is already won in Christ Jesus. But just because that's the case, look, let me sit down here and talk to you for a second. How come so many people are going to go to hell? For you people that don't think anybody's going to hell, you're wrong, because the Bible says they will. Now, with that in mind, we all got straight here. How come so many people are going to go to hell? They know about Jesus. In the United States, they know about Jesus better than anything else, or better than any other country. because they don't reinforce it with the truth, which means they have to speak it over and over. How many times? 70 times 70? And sometimes your flesh will refuse to believe it. Do you think that maybe every time that Paul and Silas got hit with the rod, they had to say again, "Praise you, Lord. Your truth, no matter what. The victory's there, no matter what I feel." How many times? Well, if Jesus can mention what he called forgiveness, or what you call forgiveness, 70 times 70, then I'd suggest to you that that's how many times we have to speak truth per day. Do your math. You'll find out that it doesn't leave too many minutes because you're not speaking the truth. 6b. Your freedom and victory is enforced with truth that sets you and others free. One, you have to acknowledge that the victory is won. Once you begin to acknowledge that the victory is won, you get freedom. From what? From the chains that were binding you. That's what. That's your flesh. What were the chains attached to? The spirit man or the flesh man? What did the prison have in bondage? The spirit man or the flesh man? And what Paul and Silas were doing was showing everybody in the entire world, and it was written down for history, that you can't put my spirit man in chains. That I'm out of here no matter what you do. I'm free. 6C, your freedom and victory is enforced with speaking the truth, setting you free, enforcing the victory, and setting others free to praise and speak truth. Now, what's better than one born-again, set-free Christian speaking the truth? A room full, that's right. One can put 1,000, two can put 10,000. So the goal of Jesus trying to press into us to speak the truth is not just so that you'll be free. It shows that he'll have a whole bunch of those nuts that are set free. And those nuts are setting more nuts free. His riches are measured in souls. When we are walking in victory, it exalts and glorifies God. Now, I know him. He likes praise. I know him. He likes to be exalted. And I don't care. He's worthy. So there's no competition here. He's worthy of it. Don't waste it on me. Don't waste it on people. Give it to him. That's speaking the truth. You find the best person on the face of the earth and you just give them all kinds of praise and honor. And 5 minutes later, they go and slip somewhere. Then you feel like never praising another person as long as you live. Well, don't. Praise God. Somebody comes to you and says, "Man, you did a good job." You say, "Praise God." If anything good was done, it was him. It wasn't you. Number 7. When we force our flesh and our mind to stop speaking lies. Lies are based on evidence, not truth. And force our mouths and our mind to remember who Jesus is and what we have, then we win. Now, you guys are not seeing this in proper perspective yet, I can see. Because you think you've had problems, and not one time have I ever seen me, you, or anybody else beat, thrown in a hole, and chained. And yet those people that did that, for our example, gave God praise and they were released. We spend all of our times in an air-conditioned bedroom going, "Woe is me." And we think we got it bad. We need to force a change in our lives. Slap us silly when we don't talk right. Anyway, you have to say it. You say it where you get a grip on your flesh and let the Holy Spirit get a grip on you. Let the truth get a grip on you. Number 8, when we win, God is exalted, which fulfills the goal of our lives. You don't think Paul and Silas came out of there saying, "Let's spend some time fixing each other's wounds." Those guys were happy. They were happy. The goal of their life has just been fulfilled. God was exalted. Families were saved. The prison guards were saved. The one that is in charge of persecuting the Christians in this case. They're happy. You think they're saying, I don't know if it's worth that stripe or not. They forgot about their stripes because their spirit man was alive and strong and happy.
Amen.
And pleasure was bursting within them, not pain.
Right.
All right. I'm not going to ask you about miracles. I'm going to tell you about mine. Because I was blasted off the face of this earth with propane, burned third degree, top half of my body, a lot of parts burned near off. This guy right here. And all the reports of all the professionals that went to all that school to get all that lie told me that I would never be the same. I would live in an ugly, altered state. But don't worry about that, because we got to get you through the night. You'll probably die during the night. Now, this is the kind of reports I want to hear. And in the meantime, we'll have to make up you some nose and ears and all that stuff so you'll look half decent. We may have to do more, but let's don't talk about that right now. About 10 weeks from now, when you finally get healthy, we'll start the surgeries. We have medication in case you get in extreme pain. Can I tell you the report of the Lord? And the report of the Lord always is the report. No pain, no surgeries, no near-death experiences, no loss of nose or arms or ears or anything like that. No pain. You want me to start telling you what happened in that hospital when I was a third-degree burn patient and no pain? That's where it began. They're not going to approach me because I'm near death. Bull corn. They go outside and ask my dad, what's going on in there? Well, you need to know. Jesus is going on in there. And when the healing process is going 1,000 times faster than it's supposed to, and that's what happened, 10 days, I walked out of there with no problems. No problem. Got one scar, people. Can't even show it to you. It's right there. You can't find it. I know where it's at, but you can't find it. Old, burn-up flesh is coming off of me so fast that they got to sweep the place twice a day or it stinks terrible because new flesh is coming. Why? The will of God. Can't you see the will of God? Does He want me burned up? Does He want me scarred? No. And don't let anybody tell you that. You got to know the will of God over the lie of the flesh. That's a long story, but that's the short of it right there. So I'm not just talking about Paul and Silas. I'm talking about real things right now.
Right.
It didn't die when they stopped writing the Bible. God is still writing on your heart the Bible today. That is what the Bible says.
Amen.
If we ever intend to follow Jesus, pick up His cross and follow Him, if we ever intend to be a success at being a child of God, we must learn to praise no matter what the circumstances are. Now, let me tell you something. And you don't mind if I preach myself out of bad circumstances into good, right? Because that's what you're seeing. I'm not saying that Paul and Silas didn't have a couple of moments where they wondered what God was up to. That's not sin. I guarantee you what went through their mind is, I wish there was another way. In fact, I would much prefer another way. That's not sin. Jesus did that before He went to the cross. What would have been a sin was a report of facts over the report of truth. The truth came out when they began to praise God. And when the truth came out, then things happened. People, flesh people, way too much flesh people. You're not going to get the report of freedom before God hears your report of Him.
Amen.
If you succumb to talking all the time about your problems, don't expect God to be too close. Because He don't like what you're saying. But you give him praise. You give people report of the Lord, the report of how good God is and the work that he's already done, and you ain't seen nothing yet. That's your praise. That's your worship of him. Then you're going to find out how an earthquake can affect you. In this case, an earthquake wasn't bad at all. The reason Jesus never weakened to the point of failure is he relied on the outcome of God's already finished victory more than the appearance of failure and defeat. Those people stood at the foot of the cross and mocked him because he failed. He was a blasphemer. He was not the Son of God, and they killed him to show that. When in reality, Jesus knew they were just pawns completing something that God had to finish. Now, are we that strong? When people are mocking us, when it looks like that there's total failure, are we going to say, just as I thought? Are we going to see, we're going to stand up, whether it's in chains or nailed to the cross or whatever's happening, we're going to say, you ain't seen nothing yet. When God gets through with you, your hide won't hold shocks. He relied on the outcome of God's already finished victory more than the appearance of failure and defeat. We know we've won. I didn't hear an amen at that at all. Can't believe that. We know we've won. Okay. We know that God is for us. Therefore, no one can win against us. We know that. And he doesn't say, unless you feel bad. We know that Jesus saved. Therefore, we are safe. Anybody in here saved? Then you're safe. God's still got a few earthquakes left over. Come on. How many of us need an earthquake? I do. I need some big ones. I need some that stretch through many states. But I don't find anywhere in that God's limited his arms are short. He forgot. I don't find that in there. We also know that attacks will come. No amen to that. You notice that. I'm guaranteeing you that attacks will come. They will tempt our flesh to quit, to fail, to give up, and to run and hide. But see, it won't work because we've already seen the victory. We've seen Jesus. So you can't see Jesus and fail. We know the victory, Jesus. We know that he never fails. He never quits. What he's done is done and can't be retracted. As we think on these things, what? That we're winners and not losers? Then our flesh becomes weak and our spirit man strong and victorious. And when that crazy spirit man gets strong and victorious, he wants to speak out. You can't keep him shut. This old flesh bondage, the flesh chains, the flesh darkness, it just breaks up. And the flesh man begins to appear. I mean, the spirit man. And out comes the praise. Because the spirit man is going to speak the truth. And praise is the truth. You remember I started off by saying the truth is the biggest burden that we carry? You know why it's a burden? Nobody wants to hear it. They'd rather spend time hearing about how bad things are than how good they are. So your job is to resist not only your flesh, but theirs, and speak the truth anyway. Well, I might get beat up. Well, you're getting beat up now. You just don't know it. You got chains on your ankles and on your arms, and you won't even wave them, so they'll come off. Wave them a little bit. Praise the Lord while you're doing it, man. Yeah, kick them off. Kick them off. There's no chain in the whole world built strong enough to resist Jesus. Actually, you in Christ Jesus. Let's don't blame everything on Jesus. All of the problems you have are your fault. And all the victories, he gets the praise for.
Yeah, right.
But you have to be the enforcer.
Yeah, right.
That mouth that you were given, which is a tremendous gift by God, was given so you can defeat the enemy with your mouth.
Right.
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So every time you open your mouth, we figure out what's in your heart.
Right.
Well, it's not important for me to know, but God recognizes. So attacks will come. We don't care. We know Jesus. We know God the Father. My Father is bigger than your Father. As we think about those things, as we meditate, the Bible calls, meditate on those things, then out comes the truth. If Paul and Silas would have discussed and shared their dark, painful, binding situation, they'd still be there. Instead, they saw Jesus, they saw His salvation, His victory. Therefore, they were free when everybody else saw prison. They saw freedom when everybody else saw prison. They saw the truth, they spoke the truth, they were freed. They saw the truth, they spoke the truth, and their freedom came. All you have to do is don't be afraid, but believe. When Jesus faced the cross, His flesh wanted to run. His spirit wanted to win. And to glorify God. He faced down the flesh with truth and praise. He won the victory for Himself, and He won the victory for you and I. Because He was tough enough to take control of His flesh. Are you tough enough? Are you a Nancy girl? That's being nice. Let us give up our lives of defeat and take on and up the cross of victory. Speak it, sing it, praise it out. Will we take up our cross and follow Him? Listen to what David said in Psalms chapter 50, verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. That's what God says. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God.
Right.
Now, David wrote it, but God spoke it. Now, listen to what he's saying. Carefully, by the Spirit, whoever offers praise glorifies me, God says. And to him who orders his conduct aright, oh, man, there's that law again. No. What he's saying is make yourself speak the truth. Whoever makes themselves speak the truth. See, whatever you speak, that's what you're going to follow. If you do it right, in other words, speak the truth, God says, I will show my salvation. You know what? Paul and Silas were dumb enough to believe that. And so they did it. And so God showed His salvation. Boy, this is hard. I know this is hard because to us intellectual, intelligent people, this can't be true. The news hasn't been on the news, so it can't be right. I haven't seen it in the paper. It's right. It's right. Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5, it says, enter into His gates. Do anybody want to enter into the gates of God?
Yes.
Then the key is with thanksgiving. And into His courts with praise.
That's right. Amen.
Be thankful to Him. And bless Him.
Yes.
For the Lord is good.
Yes.
If the Lord is good, then you don't have any right to say anything, but the Lord is good.
Amen.
His mercy is everlasting. I thought it was like Coke. It went flat after opened. His mercy is everlasting.
Man.
And just in case you think something has changed, His truth endures to all generations.
Man.
His truth endures to all generations. That doesn't mean that it comes forth from all generations. It comes forth from those that decide to use it in all generations. All right? Praise the Lord. Praise my God. I've spoken truth to you this morning. It's up to you to do something with it. I'm going to tell you that Connie and I have had over the last couple of years, and it just seems to keep getting a little tougher. We've had more problems than you want to hear about, and I don't want you to hear about them because they're not the truth. They take us down. God builds us up. We kind of get on this roller coaster simply because our flesh is nearly as weak as yours. See, if my spirit man's strong, did you know my flesh gets strong also? Now, what do you mean by that, Stan? Listen carefully. I'm not speaking double-minded here. What I'm saying is that when a spirit man is strong, you see that man's flesh become strong against lies. Can it be effective? Oh, yeah, it can be effective. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that part of this flesh process is this voice. It's my hands. It represents, it actually comes out as what we call will.
Yep. Right.
If the will of my spirit man is strong, the flesh man will get strong. And it attacks and it goes up and down. But the flesh man does not do that. He just reaches way down there in that well of victory and pulls up some. Takes that balm of Gilead and puts it on the wounds.
Right.
Says, then the spirit man gives the flesh man a kick and says, now get going again. And the flesh man is the one that looks like he's strong. If any of you think that I look weak, you're wrong.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel weak, but I don't look it. Why? Because there's a strong-willed spirit man in me following after Jesus Christ, and I'm going to kick the hound out of my flesh.
Amen.
And it's going to obey God no matter what it wants. And then when I make my flesh man do what God wants, then it may get a little pushy with you. Give God the glory. That's what you do. You don't say that's a strong-willed man unless he's just being a horse's patoot. When he's following hard after God, you say that's a strong-spirited man. We speak of horses better than we do men. But this morning I've been talking about things that Connie and I go through. And we've had some Paul and Silas category attacks. And we've had a few moments where we said to Jesus, we had to say to Jesus, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's all he wants to hear. We believe that God is speaking things to us that we need to hear. And I'm hoping that you're hearing what God is speaking to us this morning. I want to play you a song that my wife brought to me. And I want you to read the words. And just hold just for a second, Patrick. We've got to get this card out here. Because I definitely want you to read the words. It's a song we're going to learn around here because it's a tremendous praise song. But it's about Paul and Silas. And it's about the words that they spoke, their praise, their singing, what they spoke that freed them. It's another way to picture the victory that God has for us. And I want you to hear what God is speaking to us about the victory in all of our situations and not the prison. Because I am not in prison. And nobody that will listen to me is going to stay in prison. I don't care. Now, we don't have to turn the light off. You can read that, right? And there's 2 pages, so this is the most important page. It's the words that you probably don't know. Just a second. This is one of the best statements right here in this song is right here. See, the reason Paul and Silas weren't in prison is because they didn't let their spiritual mind be imprisoned. If we're defeated, it will be in our fleshly mind. It will never be in our spirit mind. So we need to determine which one is going to have the final word. All right? Now, I want you to listen to this song, and I want you to picture the things that you think are troubling and binding you, whether it's sickness, disease, dis-ease, whether it's a pain, whether it's a problem you think is impossible. You don't have a problem that's worse than this one. And God took care of this one. Now, I just want you to praise Him and let Him take care of the one you're talking about. And I'm excited where I don't want to shut up and listen to the song. I'm pumped up because I happen to know, and we've decided over the last few days, that the problems we're dealing with, they're already answered.
Amen.
Why do I have to preach it and not believe it? It's already done. There is no weapon formed against me that'll prosper. And I'm not just talking about me as the jailer was. It's me and my household.
Amen.
Ain't no enemy strong enough to come and steal that. It's done. It's finished. And I can either talk about the problem or I can speak the truth, which is the solution, Jesus Christ and all that He's done. Now, if you have something we need to pray about towards the latter part of this, or we can play it again, we come up, you come up, and we'll pray about this. But I don't want to hear a whole lot about your problems. All right to share it, but then out of your mouth, before we agree with you in prayer, I want to hear the solution. Maybe we just have a lot less praying and a whole lot more praising. Now, we're not being hard here. If you need prayer during this time, come, but at least listen to the song and the words. Go ahead. Make it loud enough where we can hear it, but not so loud we run.
In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes. Began to see.
Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Now, the way Paul and Silas were free as they sang this, it just kind of, to me, kind of put feet to what Paul and Silas were really saying.
Amen.
This is not the life, and this is not the truth, and this is not the way. We bless your name, Lord. You're the life. You're the truth. You're the way. And those truthful praise words that came out of Paul and Silas were stronger than the chains that were holding them.
Right.
Amen? This is what Jesus wants us to understand. And then this is what Jesus wants us to practice. Amen?
Amen?
He didn't die so that we'd have something to preach about.
Right.
He died so we'd have something to do.
That's right.
There's nothing we could have done before Jesus died except offer up the flesh of bulls and goats. But after the supreme, the pure, the whole sacrifice was presented, now we got something we can do. Now we, individually, not some priest that has to go into a built temple built by man's hands, but now a temple. We reside in Christ Jesus. We're the temple of Christ Jesus. You say it the way you want, but now we can break chains.
Right.
We don't hope to break chains. And He is the way, right? And not for us, just. Because when you have victory, somebody's watching. That's what we saw today. So it isn't just about us. Somebody's watching. We can become useful members of society no matter what anybody thinks. Because God says so. We reach out and touch people. Amen? Hallelujah. And you know what? This is my word to the devil and the whole world today. If you all disagree with me, it's still my word for today.
Amen.
That's the other thing Paul and Silas had to do. They had to be strong enough to say, this is my word no matter what I see and no matter what the jailer thinks.
Amen.
I don't care if they leave me in here and I starve to death. I don't care if the chains don't come off. This is still my word.
Yes, right.
Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I have spoken the truth today.
Yes, right.
And I got blessed. Once again, I will say to you, are all hearts clear? I will also say to you, because it is the truth, there was no better word spoken anywhere on the face of the planet than what was spoken here this morning. Now, what are you going to do with it? You know what we ought to feel like? We ought to feel like, let's go find something to fight. What we need to realize is that because you've been given this word, a fight's coming. But you don't care.
Right.
You've already seen the outcome, right? That's why you can speak the truth, because you've seen the outcome. Don't be surprised when something comes to challenge that word. That's the word you need to remember. Actually, we've already won. It's very little difference. It can be a split second difference. But to me, it makes a difference to say I've already won, that I'm going to win. Amen? Now, can we spend a moment trying to figure out a problem that's bigger than the word we got this morning? Will you say that when the bigger problem than today comes? I told my wife, I said, the things that we've walked through in the last 2 years can only point to one thing, that the whole world's going to know when our chains fall off.
Amen.
That's what it is. And they're falling now. Whether you realize it or not, I've already seen them off. I've seen the outcome of many things that I've been waiting on in the last 2 or 3 days. Because it didn't start with this word. It started with another word that I'm not free to share with you. Because it's my word. It'll be your word when it's time, but it's my word now. God does intimate things with us.
That's right.
I'll reveal that to you when it's time. But until then, it's mine because it's my victory.
Yeah.
Selfish? Uh-uh. One-on-one relationship with God. Even though everybody in that jail got saved or changed, That victory was Paul and Silas's victory. It was because of a personal relationship with God. And they didn't say, thank you, jailer. They didn't even think about him when they were dancing and shouting. In fact, they didn't even get busy with the dancing and shouting. There was other people that needed to be saved. That was their worry. They had a jailer that walked up and said, what must I do to be like you? Safe. The only way that's going to happen is if God lays some problems on us so they can reveal the victories. I had to fight so hard yesterday. I turned the corner and there's a bunch of war protesters on the corner holding up their sissy signs saying we're wrong by being in Iraq. It's illegal. It's more immoral. It's, you know. And I wanted to go over and ask. I knew I couldn't because I was going to punch somebody. But I wanted to ask them, when is the last battle you fought? When is the last victory you won? Your stinking freedom is out here today because somebody else would do what you won't do.
That's right. Right.
I don't want to be a peaceful Christian.
Nope.
My Jesus is not a peacenik. He's not a pot-smoking sissy.
That's right.
When he sees something wrong, he takes care of it.
That's right.
You know how he does that? This is the bad part. He walks up to me and you and says, I want you to take care of something for me. Those that wait upon the Lord. Come on, are you hearing this? They'll run and not be weary. Walk and not faint. In other words, there's no elements that's stronger than them. Why did he tell us that? We missed the main word in that. Those that are wait persons upon the Lord. A waiter, you tell them what to do and they go do it and they don't get the tip. So when my Lord and my Savior, my husband, my God walks over to me and says, Stan, you're not going to like this, what might be, some people might see as a whippet, but you trust me. What's our job now?
Praise Him.
And the truth.
The other stuff will take care of itself.
Right.
Listen to me again. The whipping and the victory is going to take care of itself. Your job is to praise.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid, only believe.
Yeah.
Got it? Don't be afraid, only believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know something? I've walked through many people as they died. But I don't think anything affected me like my mom and dad dying. because the final victory, as the Bible calls it, they faced and walked through it. And I walked through it with them. You hearing me? When you get to be 87, 88, 89 years old, 90 years old plus, you're faced every day with the fact that this could be your last breath. And they stood on the word. Don't be afraid. Only believe.
Amen.
Now that's what the Bible calls the last victory. It didn't mean that there wouldn't be some things in there that we aren't required to be victorious over. Right?
Right.
And I can promise you, I can look at the problems, and I can tell you right now that you don't have one big enough to make you be afraid.
Right.
Not if you praise. Not if you praise. Amen? Y'all stand with me. Evidently, you don't need prayer because the Word has been so powerful this morning that you've been transformed right where you sat.
Yeah.
And I have no problem with believing that. No problem. That's what the Word's supposed to do. And if I can believe the Word will transform you like that, then I can believe when it comes out of your mouth, it's going to transform your situation.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We do bless your name this morning. You are our answer, not to be answered. You are already the answer.
Yes. Yes.
It's been accomplished. The enemy's been defeated. He just needs to be defeated in my life, and I do that by saying, we bless your name. You are our life. You are our life. You are our life. Those things that concern us concern you more. You've already instigated the action that it's going to take to heal, change, and deliver. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We leave this place better than we came because we bless your name. We leave this place victorious because we bless your name. We bless your name. I don't care what the problem is. It's not bigger than the solution. We bless you, Mr. Solution Jesus Christ. We bless you, Lord. We're not going to look for our own solution. What can I do? I look to what's already been done. Hallelujah. And for that, I bless your name. Now for those individual problems and pains and shortages and all of the things that flesh represents, we speak to them and say, be healed.
Yes.
Rise up and walk in the Spirit in Jesus' name. No more flesh having rule over us. Hallelujah.
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 Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. We bless your name. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus into victory. Everybody that agrees that it is finished in Jesus' name says amen.
Amen.
Don't forget there are a few snacks out back as we visit with each other. Y'all be blessed this week. If you need anything, call. Amen.